Look at Psalm 107, verse number 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Look at verse number 15. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Look at verse number 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And then finally, verse 31. You want to know what it says? I bet you already know what it says, don't you? Oh, that men, verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Four times in one chapter, God says the same thing. And anytime God repeats Himself, it's never because He forgot what He said. It's always for emphasis. Think of repetition as God's volume knob. The more He says it, the louder He's trying to get it to come across so we don't forget it. God says four times, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord." And that heart cry that, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord." Ezra was used by God to pen this psalm. After he helped Zerubbabel build the temple there in Jerusalem after the captivity. And when they were done, God used Ezra to pen this. So they're looking at the new building and they're thinking, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness." Now that you know a little bit about the background, look at verse 1. Ready? Watch this. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." And then verse 2. It's a pretty famous verse, but watch this. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the many, from the enemy." You could take this psalm, and it's divided. It's got the verse number 8, verse 14, I think it is. Yeah, 15, and verse 21, and then verse 31. You have four sections in this psalm, and the last section, I'll show you here in just a second. But each one has a different group of people in it that should praise the Lord for His goodness. The first group of people that should praise the Lord for His goodness are the redeemed. What's the word redeemed mean? It means to purchase, give the money for, receive, and set free. That's what happened to you when you got saved. Jesus paid the price for your sin. He received you to Himself, and then He said, "You're free. You're set free. You're redeemed." Now, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The first group of people mentioned in this psalm, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. You ought to be able to let the redeemed say so. In other words, speak it. "Hey, I'm redeemed. Somebody bought me. God owns me. The Lord Jesus shed His blood for me and paid the price for me. I'm redeemed." The word redeemed in the law, it said if anyone was sold as a slave or carried away captive, his kinsman who was nearest to him in blood had the right of redemption, but no other person was allowed to buy the slave or the captive. The kinsman redeemer who purchased the slave or the captive was called the redeemer. The law also said that in case anybody was murdered, then the nearest to that person in blood that was murdered was to bring the murderer to justice and prosecute the murderer. The person avenging the murderer in this way was called a redeemer. So if you paid money or if you sought justice and avenged the death of a blood kin, you were a redeemer. Now you say, how does that apply to us? Watch this. Sin brought us into captivity and murdered us. Then the Creator Jehovah God came into the world to redeem us. He paid the price of our redemption with His obedience and His sufferings. By His precious blood, death on the cross, and His resurrection, He overcame death, and He who has the power of death and delivered us from slavery and captivity. Satan was the murderer from the beginning, and our Redeemer came to avenge us of our murderer. And He crushed His head on Calvary, okay, when He died for our sins. He is our Redeemer in that He avenged our murderer, Satan, and He paid the price for our captivity. We don't... I love the word redeemed, although we use... How about this? John 8:36. Listen closely. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Ye shall be free indeed. I'm redeemed. I've been set free. I was a captive. I was a slave. I was murdered. And now I'm bought with a price and I've been set free. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I'll never be condemned now. Before I was. I was condemned already. I was set, before I got saved, the Bible says I was waiting for my heart to beat for the last time. The judge had already sent the gavel home, the court had already been held, and I was waiting to go to hell. Every lost person is that way. They're waiting for their heart to beat, they're condemned already. I was condemned, and He purchased me. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. And I'll give you one more. Psalm 103, verse number 1 through 4. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with a loving kindness and tender mercies. And now let's look at Psalm 107. And as we're going through this, and I point out some things to you, the first group of people that ought to praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men are the redeemed. Can I just read to you here? Look at verse number 4. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. That's what we're doing until we get to heaven, is we're wandering this earth. We're sojourners and pilgrims. Then look at verse number 5. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they, the redeemed, cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distress. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation, talking about heaven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful work to the children of men. Now watch this. Now He's going to talk about another group of people. Watch this. For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Look at verse number 10. I think if there's one part of this that should encourage anybody, this little section here. Listen closely. Such as sit in darkness and the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. First of all, He's talking to somebody sitting in darkness in the shadow of death. Who is that? That's the condemned cell of those who've been sentenced to be put to death. They're condemned. Do you understand? They're sitting there. Why? Why are they there? Look at verse number 11. Ready? Because they rebelled against the words of God. So the first group of people that ought to praise the Lord are those who are redeemed. The second group of those who ought to praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men are those who struggle because of their sin. Those who are spiritually sick. These people here, God tells us they rebelled against His words, the words of God, and they contemned or hated the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, because of that, He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Only God says God brings their heart down with labor. And every once in a while you'll talk to somebody and they get discouraged. Seems like all I do is work. I don't enjoy my life. I'm in a real mess. All I do, God brings down our heart with labor when we rebel against His Word. You understand? You see these people here? They've rebelled against the Word of God, and now God has brought their heart down with labor. Look at verse 13. Then they cried unto the Lord. Aren't you glad that when you've rebelled against the Word of God, He still hears your cry? Aren't you glad? When God has every right to say, well, if you're not going to listen to my word, then I'm not going to listen to you when you pray. And God could say that, but He doesn't. It says here, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands asunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. Oh, and His wonderful works to the children of men. He's so good to us. The redeemed ought to say it. Those who struggle for the rebellious should say it. And God still says, aren't you glad when somebody rebels against the Bible? Aren't you glad God says, when you're ready, I'm right here. Listen, I'm not going to partake with what you're partaking of, and I'm not going to put my stamp of approval on it, but when you're done playing, when you finally figure out the devil's a liar and sin brings death, when you're done, I'm right here. Amen. And I'm listening for your cry. I'm listening for your cry. Look at the next set of people here. Watch this. Verse number 16. For He hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression or their sin, and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. So the first group of people are the redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let them praise the Lord for His goodness. The next group of people are the rebellious, condemned, sitting in a cell waiting for the execution, and then they cry unto the Lord. This group of people I have in my Bible labeled the spiritually sick. The spiritually sick. Watch this. It says here, their soul, verse 18, their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. They don't enjoy life. Look at this. Praise God. This is all throughout this psalm. Look at verse 19. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. I love that. He listens for their cry. Now, guess how He heals the spiritually sick? Guess how He heals us? Verse number 20, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. He sent His word and healed them. You want to think one of the most helpful things in a day and age of technology when we can literally have the Bible? Anytime I get sick or get the flu or anything like that, I mean, I play the Bible in my office too, but I play the Bible. There's something healing about the Word of God. I got Alexander Scorby reading it. I got James Earl Jones. Somebody gave it to me, okay, and I got him reading the King James Bible, and I have one other guy, but it doesn't matter. If you listen to it, there's something healing about the Bible. God sent His Word, the Bible, and He healed them. I know this is talking spiritually, however, I wish we had the Bible playing more. I wish we used technology more for God, and it ought to be playing in your home. Watch this. Look at verse 21. It says it again. Here's the third time. God says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." Watch this. "And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving." I have that underlined in my Bible, the sacrifice of thanksgiving. You know what that means? I said Sunday that thanksgiving and being thankful doesn't come natural to any of us. It's a sacrifice. Tomorrow, you won't naturally sit down at the table and enjoy the feast and be naturally thankful. You're going to have to say, now it's time to be thankful. It's a sacrifice of thanksgiving. In other parts of your Bible, it says it's a sacrifice of praise. And I think it's talking about God sees you working at being thankful. God sees you working at it. I just don't have anything to thank the Lord for. Okay, good. Think about it. Because you really do, you just haven't thought about it. You have a lot to praise God for. You just haven't thought about it. Are you thankful for your mom and dad? You thankful for the house you live in? You thankful for the clothes you wear? Of course I am. I get it. You just haven't thought about it. You haven't thought about it. Tomorrow, at your table, or maybe it's after the meal, maybe it's before, but tomorrow there has to be somewhere where you say, man, I can't wait to I need to be thankful. I need to think about it. Let me show you one thing here. We got 2 minutes left. Would you take your Bible and go to Psalm 119, verse 60? Psalm 119, verse 60. Psalm 119, you're in Psalm 107. Go to Psalm 119 and look at verse 60. At midnight, I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments, or because of the word of God. Next time you can't sleep and you get up at 1 or at 2 or 3, walk around your house and thank the Lord. Here, he said he did it. We're led to do that. Oh, I just tossed and turned for a whole hour and I couldn't get any sleep. Well, then get up and praise God. You're going to lay there anyways. You can't go right back to sleep. Get up and walk around your house and look at how good God's been to you. I remember I'd go into my kids' rooms and I'd watch them while they sleep. And I'd say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I go to my wife and I'll see her laying there and I pray for her and I thank the Lord for her. At midnight, I will arise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments, because of the Bible. God's been good. God's been good. I just need to think about it. Can we go real quick? I got 30 seconds. Go back to Psalm 107. Go back to Psalm 107. I just want you to see it as you read it later on. Watch this. Psalm 107, verse number 27. This is talking about men who are in a boat and they're tossed by the waves of the sea. Look at verse 27. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. And I love this little phrase, and are at their wits' end. You ever hear somebody say, I'm about ready to break? Then they cried unto the Lord, and the Lord hears them, calms the storm. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let's pray. Father, thank You for tonight. Thank You.